Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Moed Katan Daf Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the very bottom line of Daf Chof Zayin Amud Beis, a quote from the Mishnah. The Mishnah spoke about the leaving of a stretcher with a corpse on it in a public area, and the idea being that people would then assemble for a eulogy. However, the Mishnah says, "V'lo shel noshim lo'olam mipnei ha-kovid." The stretcher having a female corpse on it would never be left out in public because of out of honor to her. Now, this is qualified as we go on in the Gemara. Omar Amri Nahardoi. Loishonu, we continue at the top of Chof Ches Amud Aleph, Elo Chaya. This restriction regarding the leaving of the women deceased in public is only regarding women that died in childbirth. Rashi explains, Shemesamach Masvlad Shehi Shefas. There's an unusual amount of blood release as a result of the fetus that would result in, of course, the disparagement of the deceased. Avol sh'ar noshim manichem, but other women one can leave outside. Number two, Rabbi Lozer Omar, and we should note maybe before we go on the side under the Mivneh heading, the structural note, Hasimunim haboim miyuadim lahavlit hakesher bein meimro lemeimro. We're going to have a number of different markings as we go along, and the idea here is to create a connection between different comments that are made in the course of the Gemara. So we highlight with a house marking Rebbe Lozer comments, but we also indicate he's number two, so he's a second opinion regarding the practice of leaving women in the public. Rebbe Lozer says, "Afilu shar noshim, even with regard to other women, we do not leave them. We won't place them in a public square." Dechtiv vatomos shom Miriam vatikover shom somuch lamisa kvura. From the pasuk with Miriam, we understand that very soon after her death, she was buried. There was no intent of leaving her. And she represents womankind, leaving her unburied for any amount of time. V'yomer Rabbi Lozer, af Miriam b'neshika mesa. Miriam died through a very desirable method of expiration through the term neshika means kiss, the kiss of death, but it's a reference to the Almighty granting a person a very swift, painless, easy death. And it's known as Misas Neshika. So she died like that. And how do we know this? Asya Shom Shom Mi Moshe. A word comparison from Moshe leads us to the conclusion regarding Miriam. And by Moshe, we know that he died in that fashion. A very pleasant, if that's possible to say, but a very pleasant type of an easy death. So just like Moshe Rabbeinu experienced that, where the Pasuk says, Al Pi Hashem, through the mouth of God, so too Miriam experienced that. Umipnei ma lo nemar bo al pi Hashem. So why is that phrase absent in the case of Miriam's death? Mipnei shignai hadover laomro. Because it's not fitting to present the Almighty as if he was kissing a woman. Omar Rabbi Ami, Loma Nismacha Misas Miriam Leparshas Paraduma. Why in the Torah is the death of Miriam featured in the proximity of the parsha of the section dealing with the red heifer. The red heifer was slaughtered and its carcass burnt and mixed with water, and it was the source of purification for people defiled to the dead. So what is the significance of this proximity? Lomar loch, it teaches us, ma pora aduma mechaperes, just like the pora aduma had an atonement capacity, and Tosfos says it helps to atone for the sin of the golden calf. So it has an atoning capacity. Af misosin shel tzadikim mechaper, so to the death of the righteous is a form of atonement. Omar Rebbe Elazar, lomo nismacha misas aron lebigdei kuna. Why is there proximity between the death of Aaron and a discussion concerning the clothing of the priests? Ma bigde kuna mechaprim, just like the clothing of the priests of the Kohanim has an atonement capacity to them, and that is elaborated upon in Maseches Zvochim and elsewhere. So af misosin shel tzadikim mechaper, so to the death of the righteous is a source of atonement. Tanu Rabbanan. We have another Tanaic source, or a new Tanaic source, which describes different forms of death, forms in terms of timing, and we'll see later, ages. The source begins, Meis Pisoim, someone who dies suddenly, a person who didn't show any signs of illness, a sudden death. Zuhi Misa Chatufa, that's classified as a Misa Chatufa. The word Chatufa means grabbed. It's as if his soul was grabbed away. Cholo Yomecho Demeis, a person who was sick only one day and then dies. Zuhi Misa Dchufa, that's considered a rushed death. The Tosfos points out these terms are lo yodana mai shna hu umeno lei. Tosfos says, I don't understand what's the significance of these distinctions and where they are derived from. It could be pointed out, though, that these are not desirable situations, and we know that from the continuation of the Gemara. Rabbi Hananyo ben Gamliel omer zuhi misas magefa. A death like that, sick one day and then dying, that's characteristic of a plague. Shenemar ben odom hineni lokech mimchos machmad inecho bimagefa. Uksiv vadaber elohom baboiker vatomos ishti boerev. So noting the psukim are from Yecheskel Perek Chof Dalin, and the term magefa appears, and death in one day, where he was speaking to the people in the morning, and that evening his wife died. So that indicates illness of one day and then death, and it's called magefa. Shnei yomim, person who is sick for 2 days, umes, and then dies, zuhi misa dechuya. That's the term for that misa dechuya. So far, we've seen chatufa, dechufa, dechuya. Dechuya, in other contexts, means it's pushed off. Shloisha, 3 days, that's called gara. Gara, in other contexts, means wrath, a death out of wrath. And arbo, nezifa. We've seen this expression we've seen earlier in the Masichta, in the sugi that was dealing with excommunication. Nezifa is also an expression of displeasure, of anger. Chamisha, a person who is ill for 5 days and then dies, zuhi misas kol odom. That is normal. It's something that doesn't reflect an undesirable situation. You can see we have brackets, and the note on the side indicates Achrei Sograyim Amokor Mamshich. After the brackets, the Brisa continues. B'socha Sograyim Kan ulahalon, within the brackets here, and later have a chipus posuk levases ma shekotani. We're seeking out a posuk for that which was taught. And the diamond that you see, in fact, highlights that. And we mention thusly in the under the mivne heading, where we've written on the side, chipus psukim levases ha dekotani, a search for verses to serve as a basis of that which we have taught. So now, with that having been said, Omar Rav Chonan Maikra, what's the posuk regarding the 5-day illness leading to death? Hein korvu yomecho lomus, that is the posuk. Hein equals chad. The word hein means one, even though it sounds like a plural word. We'll see very shortly within the next couple lines at the end of this line that hein actually in Greek means one. So hein is chad, korvu is a plural word, is trei, and yomecha is also a plural expression, which is another trei. Trei means two. So you have one, two plus two, ha chamisha, a total of five. Hein equals chad, the word hein means one. Shekein b'loshen yevoni korin la'achas hein. In fact, maybe you're familiar with the word uno. That is also one. So uno and hein, they have the same etymological origin, and it dates back here. You can see even in the scriptures. Meis b'chamishim shana zuhi misas koris. Here we're dealing with ages. A person who dies at 50. That's called symptomatic, we'll say, or reflective of a kores punishment. We often see the word kores in the Torah, throughout the Shas. So in this context, death at 50 would be a person who had violated some type of sin that requires the kores punishment. Chamishim u'shtayim shana zu hi misaso shel Shmuel haramasi. Someone dying at 52, well, that was the age at which Shmuel the prophet, the famous Shmuel the prophet, haramasi is where he was from, that he died at that age. Shishim zu hi misa bidei shamayim. Someone who dies at 60, that is, again, reflective of someone who deserved to die at the hands of heaven, and that's as a result of different types of sins that has that punishment associated with it. again, we see the brackets with an attempt to find a pasuk that indicates that. After the brackets, shivim is mentioned. That is an age that is, we'll say, a reasonable age to die. It's called Seva. Now, before we go on, though, the brackets, Omar Mor Zutra, Mai Kraw, what is the posuk regarding age 60? Dichtiv, Tavoy Bekelach Elai Kever. Bekelach, Begematria, the word Kelach in numerical value equals Shisin Havu. So, and this posuk describes going to the grave. And going to the grave at 60 is, as we said, indicative of Misa Bidei Shamayim. Shivim, age 70, that's called Seva. Maybe you're familiar with the Pasuk Mipnei Seva Tokum, the instruction in the Torah to rise in the presence of someone who has reached the age that we call Seva, 70. Shmoinim equals Gvuros. Death at 70, that indicates death at 80, that is, Gvuros. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Yemeshna Yisembohem Shivim Shana, the length of, or the lifespan of man is taken to be 70 years, Ve'im B'Gvuros Shmoinim Shana, but if he has, Gvuros often means strength, if he merits it, or has strength, he reaches 80. Omar Rabba, Mechamishim Vashishim Shana Zuhi Misas Kores. Death between ages 50 and 60, this is indicative of Kores. The high, the lochoshiv, the who, the fact that it, that that wasn't mentioned in the source in that fashion, Mishum Kvoidu Shmuel Ramasi, out of respect to Shmuel Ramasi, who died at 52, and you can rest assured he didn't die as a result of being guilty of Kares. His death was, it's actually explained elsewhere in the Shas as to why he died at that age, but out of respect to him, we didn't want to make a blanket statement of death between 50 and 60, that's Kares, because one would have thought that Shmuel, the prophet, was included in that, having died at 52. Rav Yosef Kihava Bar Shisin, Rav Yosef, when he reached age 60, Ovad Lu Yomotovu LeRabbanan, he made a holiday for the rabbis. Basically, he made a birthday party. Omar Nafki LeMikores. At that age, having reached 60, he says, I've now left the realm of Kores, feeling satisfied that he wasn't guilty of any Kores violations, and this demonstrated it. Amalei Abaye Nehi Denafik Le Mor Mikores Deshani. Granted, you have reason for making a party because you've left the realm of Kores associated with years. However, mikores de yoimi mi nafik mar. There's a description of this earlier. Rashi explains that a person who dies suddenly, we call that a misa chatufa, and that from the context of the Gemara is that it too is reflective of a kores type death. So, are you so sure you've really left the realm of Kores? Amalei, so Rav Yosef answers, Nikot loch miyot palga biyodach. So at least we can be happy over half of the Kores possibilities. In other words, the realm as far as years are concerned, so that realm I have left. The possibility of dying suddenly within a day, that in fact is still a problem, but I have reason to rejoice anyway. Rav Huna noch nafshe pisoim. Rav Huna died suddenly. Havu kodaigi rabbanon. The rabbanon were upset about that. They worried. Does that mean that Rav Huna was guilty of kores? Tana luhu zuga de mehadayev. A zuga usually means a pair of Rabbonon that came from this place called Hadayev. They taught lo shanu ela shelo higia legvuros. This idea that dying suddenly is reflective of Kores, this is true only if someone didn't reach 80. Aval higia legvuros, a person who reaches 80, zu hi misas nashika, this sudden type of death is actually very desirable in terms of death classification. It's called the kiss of death. And as we saw before, Moshe Rabbeinu merited that. Miriam received that. We continue continuing the Gemara itself. We look at the side. We have a no say, Mivne heading. Notice the bow tie shape. The no say, of course, is the topic, and Mivne, the structural note. The bow tie represents Memros Shel Rava. Different comments made by Rava as we go on in the Gemara. Number one, we've noted on the side, Chai Boni Mazoni Lo Bishus Talia Milsa, very well-known statement that lifespan, childbearing, and income are a person receives or doesn't receive it, not based on merit, but it's based on something called mazal. It's based on when you were born, under what horoscope, for lack of better expression. And we're not suggesting by any stretch of the imagination that people should run to their newspapers or computers to determine under what horoscope they were born. But in traditional Torah literature, there is definitely awareness and possibly even premium placed on, or we say significance is assigned to this particular topic. It's a topic that we don't encounter on a regular, we'll say, halachic framework, but it's something that exists in Torah literature, way beyond the realm of our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shir, but numerous references appear throughout the Shas regarding this topic of mazel. And mazel, as we said, has to do with time of birth, time and date, and position of different heavenly bodies. All of these matters are part of forces that the Almighty built in to his creation. So there's no, one shouldn't think for a second that there's some type of clash between understanding and that God runs the world and the presence of these phenomena. The Gemara, and actually the second point, is regarding Rava Bike Shlesha Dvorim V'Nitan Lo Shnayim. Rava, we'll see, requests three items and receives two of them. So now we continue with the bow tie. The first bow tie is a long point. Omar Rava, Chai Boni Mazoni, Chai life expectancy, lifespan, children and income. Lo Bishuso Talia Milsa, it is not dependent on a person's merits. Elaba Mazla Talia Milsa, it's dependent on that force called Mazel. There's a very important Tosfos on this topic. Across from here, Tosfos Ela B'mazel Talia Milsa, the Hikshu B'Tosfos HaGamorim B'Soif Shabbos Ein Mazel Yisrael. The Tosfos asks, has it not been said at the end of Masechta Shabbos that there is no Mazel for Yisrael? The Yesh Loimar, and we answer, the Lif'omim Mishtana Ayedei Mazel Ki Hano Dehosam. Things can change as a result of mazel, as is featured over there. Sometimes it doesn't change. The Gemara in Tainis says that Rebbe Elazar ben Pedos was very poor, and the Almighty, in response, Rebbe Elazar's exasperation says, "Nicholoch d'achrav amo, would you like me to destroy the world and start it all over again? Do lie, Ivri, Beidna de Mizoni, maybe you'll be born at a time of prosperity." In other words, under a force, under a mazel of prosperity. There are other sources. In fact, Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos, if I'm not mistaken, also deals with this topic of, is there or is there not mazel? There's a difference between someone on a private level and the concept of mazel on a public national level. Then there's also the issue of prayer, intense prayer, as being capable of changing mazel. It's a broad topic, but for our purposes we continue in the Gemara itself. We say that these matters, chai boni umizoni, lifespan, children and wealth, are not reflections of a person's merits, but rather it's totally in this phenomenon called mazel. The whole rab of Rav Chisna, here is a glaring example of that. Rab on Rav Chisna, Shravai Rabban and Sadiq, they were two pious, outstanding, great individuals. Mar Matzli V'Osi Mitra, Umar Matzli V'Osi Mitra. Their piety is reflected in the fact that both were capable of praying during a time of drought and rain would fall. Nevertheless, Rav Chisto Chai Tishin V'Tartin Shonen Rabo Chai Arboyin. Rav Chisto lived till 92 years of age, and Rabo only till 40. Bei Rav Chisto, Shisin Hiluli, Bei Rabo, Shisin Tichli. In the house of Rav Chisto, they celebrated 60 weddings, and in the house of Rabo, 60 deaths. Bei Rav Chisto, Smida Lekalbi, Velo Misbi. In the house of Rav Chisto, Smida is a fine flour, expensive flour, was available for dogs. Velo Misbi means it went to waste. Literally, it wasn't even desired. Indicative of a home of great opulence. And by Bei Rabba, in Rabba's house, Namo Desairi Leinshi Velo Mishtakach, all they had to eat was barley bread. Barley bread is associated with animal food. So in Rabba's house, only animal food was available for people, and even that they couldn't find. Great poverty. The Omar Rava. So actually, before we go on, you notice how we marked off this Gemara. There was 3 points, and they correspond more or less to the 3 points that are totally b'mazel, and that was clearly manifest in the contrast between Rav Chisda and Rabba. We continue with the next bow tie, another point lasting a couple lines. V'yomar Rava, Hani Tlasmili Boi Kamishmaya. The following three I requested from heaven. Tarti Yavu Li, Chada Lo Yavu Li. Two of the three were granted me, one was not given to me. Chuchmesei de Rav Huna, the wisdom of Rav Huna, the Oisrei de Rav Chisda V'yavu Li. And the Osre is like the word Ashir. See, the Tuf and the Shin interchange. So you have the word Ashirus there. And the wealth of Rav Chisda, those two were granted to me. And the Sinuse de Rabba, Ba Rav Huna, Lo Yahavuli. But the humility of Rabba, Rav Huna, that I desired, that was not given to me. It's pointed out in the Meforshim, I think you can see in the Marsha, a discussion about this when the issue of humility is something that is person-centered. In other words, a person works on himself. It's in the realm of Hakol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Mi Yiras Shamayim. So how is it something that he prayed for in the first place? It's something he would have to work on himself. So the Marshal points out something that is a lot of significance to many areas, and that is even in the realm of mitzvah performance, circumstances from heaven can make it easier or the opposite in order to achieve the mitzvah performance. So it's true that a person has to make the proper decision when it comes to character development and mitzvah performance, but the surrounding circumstances can be eased in order to achieve those goals by heavenly intervention. So he prayed for that. He prayed that circumstances for him to achieve humility would be easier. But that was not granted. The Gemara continues, Rav Sa'irim, this is a name. Now, before we go on, there is a structural note on the side. A squiggle underline appears in the Gemara. And the Gemara will introduce seven maisim, seven incidents, shamashutuf lehem, Mifkash im Malach Amoves Lifnei Misa, an encounter between people and the angel of death prior to death. Another marking that we'll see immediately is a triangle, and you'll see Goses or Misnamnim, person in the throes of death, Hamavakesh Shaloyet Tsar Bishas Yitzias and Neshama, someone who's in the throes of death, who puts a request in for a painless death. In other words, that the departure of the soul should be with little to no pain. We then continue in the Gemara. Rav Se'irim, that's a name. Rav Se'irim, Achva de Rava, the brother of Rava, Havi Yosef Kame de Rava. He was seated in the presence of Rava. Chazye de Have Ko Menamnim. Rava noticed that his brother was. Menamnim often is translated as dozing off, but Rashi says Goises. He was in the throes of death. Omar Le, Rava says, Lemo Le Mor de Lo Litzaron. Now, actually, let me just correct a detail of this story. Rav Sorim noticed that Rava was in the throes of death. So Rava says to his brother, and Rava again is a goses. Goses means in the throes of death. He says, "Lemo lemor delo litzaron." Tell the Malach HaMoves, tell the angel of death not to afflict me. Omar le, Rav Sorim says, "Lav shushbine hu." He says to his brother, "Are you not a good friend yourself of the Malach HaMoves?" This idea appears in other places in Shas as well. Of it's very, very, very hard for us to understand or to imagine this, but it's another one of many illustrations of the greatness of our Talmudic sages. How they had contact with forces of a totally spiritual nature, of angelic forces, the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death himself. And Rav Sorim asks his brother, "Well, you know, why are you asking me to intervene on your behalf when you are a good friend of the Malach HaMavis?" Omar Lei, Rava says, "Kevon de imsar mazlo lo ashkech bi." Once my mazel is given in other words, you can see I'm in the throes of death, so that I no longer am someone that he would pay attention to. Omar Lei, v'schazi limor. Ralph Sorum asks his brother, "Appear to me in a dream after your death to let me know how things went." Ischazi lay. He appeared. Rava appeared to his brother. Omar lay, havi lay lomor tsaro. So Rav Sorum asks Rava, his brother, "Did you have pain?" Omar lay, ki rivda de kusilta. Basically, I had practically no pain. The double underline highlights on the side, we indicate ti'urim shalmisakal, descriptions of a very easy death. Now the literal translation, rivda de kusilta, is like the lancet slit made when bloodletting. It's a smite, it's, we'll call it a prick, like a prick of a needle. That is the level of pain that Rava felt as he expired. Rava havi Yosef kamei to Rav Nachman. Rava was seated in the presence of Rav Nachman. Chazia de Komenam, a very similar story where he sees Rav Nachman in the throes of death. Omale lemo lemor de lo litzaron. Rav Nachman asks Rava, please intervene on my behalf with the Malach HaMavis that he should not pain me. Omale, so Rava says, mor lav odom choshevu. Are you not a great man? In other words, what do you need me for? Amale man choshev man sofin man rakia. So Rav Nachman says at the time of death, when encountering the Malach HaMavis, who is important? These are all different expressions indicating importance and significance. So he says, who is Choshev, who is Sofen, who is Rukia? Omale, so Rava asks of Rav Nachman, Lischazili Mor, please appear to me in a dream afterwards, and after your death, Ischazile, and he did. Omale, Havile, Lamor, Tsaros, Rava asks Rav Nachman, did you have pain? Omale, he answers, Kemishchal Beniso Me Chalva, like the extraction of a hair from milk. In other words, just as a hair slips easily out of milk with nothing really clinging to it, the soul slipped away from his body very easily, without any resistance, without any pain. Ve'i Omar Li HaKodesh Baruch Hu, and this is Rav Nachman continues to tell Rava in the dream. He says, if the Almighty would offer me Zil Bahu Almo Kad Havis, go back to this world and be as you were, Lo Bo'ino, I wouldn't want that. The Nofish Be'ituse, the fear of death was so great, I wouldn't want to go through that again. Rabbi Elozer have a ka'ochil truma. Now, Rabbi Elozer, from the Gemara here, you can see he was a Kohen. He was eating truma. Now, a new marking appears, the trapezoid, and on the side, the volcano shape is explained as ischazi. The word ischazi, you'll see, appears in this shape. Nir'eh lohem Malach HaMavis, appeared to them, in these different stories, the Malach HaMavis. So Rav Elozer was eating truma, and truma, one should note, is the food, it's the tithe given to Kehanim from vegetation, and it's essential that one guards its purity, its sanctity, not allowing it to become defiled. So he was eating truma. Ischazi lay, the Malach HaMavis appears. Omar lay, Rav Elazar says, "What, you want to take me now? Truma ko achilna. I'm eating truma. V'lav kodesh ikri, is it not considered holy? And if you kill me now, so the truma will become defiled." Chofale shaita. The moment passed, in other words, the hour passed, and he, as a result of that argument, apparently the Malach HaMavis was kept away, and since the moment passed, he didn't die at that time. It's as if to say that if you catch it at the right time, that is death, if the Malach HaMavis catches the victim at the right time, then so be it. But if he misses the moment, then you'll have to wait a while before a chance comes again. Rav Sheshes is Chazilei B'Shuka. Rav Sheshes met up with the Malach HaMavis. In other words, the Malach HaMavis appeared with the intent of taking away Rav Sheshes in the market. Omar Lei, Rav Sheshes says, B'Shuka kebehema, Iso legabi besa. Am I to die here in the market like an animal? At least come to my house and take me from there. Rav Ashi is Chazilei B'Shuka. The same thing with Rav Ashi. The Malach HaMavis appeared in the market. Omale, Rav Ashi says, Isrich li talsin yomin, wait for me 30 days, don't take me now. Vahadri li talmudoi, and I can go over my learning, my Torah learning. The Amrisu, as you say, Ashrei mi shebo lekan v'talmudo biyodo. Fortunate is the one who comes to the world of the dead, Bolatan meaning comes to the afterlife, with his Torah learning in hand. So give me a chance to go over my Torah learning. Biyom Talsin, also on day 30, he came. Omar Lei, my Kulei Hai. So Ravashi says, what's the rush? In other words, it's like as if you're watching a stop clock, a stopwatch, and you're coming exactly the day to take me. What's the big rush? So Malach HaMavis answers, Kodachaka Ragle de Bar Noson. The Rav Ashi had been the head of the Torah Academy. He was the leader. And time had come for the replacement Nosi to assume his position. His name was Bar Noson. V'ein Malchus Negas B'Chaverta Afilu Kamlo Nima. There's no overlap, even a hair's breadth, so that since his time has come, you must go. Hence the exact timing of things. Rav Chisda lo havi yochelei. Notice we have a new marking, the crown shape, and on the side, this highlights koshi shemal chamavus lekachas oisam, difficulty that the Malach HaMavis encountered in taking these people. We'll see Rav Chisda, and then shortly you see Rabbi Chiya. So Rav Chisda lo havi yochelei, de lo havi shosik pume migirsa. Rav Chisda was constantly learning, and therefore he, the Malach HaMavis, lo havi yochel, could not overcome Rav Chisda, and that is because the lo havi shosik pume. Pume is his mouth. In other words, Rav Chisda's mouth did not silence migirsa from Torah learning. Solik Yosef ba'arza de Beirav. So the Malach HaMavis went up an erez, a type of tree that was in the courtyard of the yeshiva. Poka arza, the erez tree, this tree split, made a noise, v'shosak, and it silenced Rav Chisda. Apparently he was frightened or caught him by surprise, this noise, v'yochile, and with that silence, Malach HaMavis was able to take Rav Chisda. Rav Chiya lo have a motzi lemikrovole. With regard to Rav Chiya, the Malach HaMavis couldn't even get near him. Yumachad idmi le ka'anya. One day, the Malacham Avos, the angel of death, appears as a poor man. He came knocking at the door. He, the Malacham Avos, appearing as a poor man, said, "Give me some bread." So, members of Rav Chia's house, they gave him some bread. He says, "Do you not have compassion for the poor?" And now, Ahu Gavra is a euphemism. It's third person, but he's referring to himself. Why don't you have compassion for me? Rashi says, "Amai lo merachim de mispakdano lemaisi le lemor bahu alma." As I am right now, I am entrusted with the task of bringing you to the next world. So, why don't you allow me to carry out my task? Goli le, he was revealed as the Malacham Avos. Achvile shuta denur, he showed him a fiery staff, or fiery stick. Amtsi le nafshe, and Rabbi Chia gave himself over to the Malacham Avos. The Rashi says that achvile shuta denur, upon showing him the fiery rod, the yoda dehu Malacham Avos, that convinced Rabbi Chia that who he was actually dealing with. We continue at the top of Amud Beis, a new Mishnah. But before we begin the Mishnah, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading, Darkei Hesped Uza'aka, different ways of eulogizing and crying out. Me'anois, Metapchois, Mekoninos, these are different expressions that we'll see in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah itself, after using the expressions, we'll then ask, what does each one mean? And a second issue that we'll deal with is Zmanim Shiesh Hagbolois Banal. Different times, dates, that there are limitations, restrictions on these practices. The Mishnah. Noshim B'moyed Ma'anois Avoloi Metapos. Noshim, during a holiday, women, that is, you find numerous references to women being professional eulogizers, professional consolers, that they figured prominently in cases of death. So these women on the holiday can do me'anois, avolo metapchos. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, asmuchos lemita metapchos. Rabbi Shmuel says that those that are near the coffin or near the stretcher where the corpse is, they can metapchos even on the moed. Notice we're not explaining these words yet. We're waiting for the Mishnah to do so. Barosh Chodeshim Chanukah Purim, on the beginning of months, on Chanukah and Purim, ma'anos u'metapchos. We allow more than we would on a moed, a holiday. Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos is more significant than these. So when it comes to Rosh Chodeshim Chanukah Purim, we allow, in addition, we allow that which we didn't allow during the moed, namely, you see, we allow metapchos. Bozel bozel lo mekoninos. However, in the moed and Rosh Chodeshim and Chanukah Purim, no allowance for mekoninos. Nikbar hames, once the dead is buried, lo ma'anos veloy metapchos. Now the words, as we promised. A zehu inui. What does inui or ma'anos mean? Shekulon oinois ka'achas. Dirges or phrases that were said in unison. Kino, mekoninos, kino, what does that mean? Sha'achas medaberes v'kulon oinois achareha. Where it's a type of responsive reading, where one says something and then the others respond. Shenemar v'la meidno b'noisechem nehi v'isha re'usa kino. So you see that kino has to do with someone saying something, someone teaching something, so to speak, someone says something, and then it's responded to. Aval la'osid lavo hu oimer, and to end off on a positive note, Mishnah says that in the future, it says, regarding the future, bila hamovis lanetzach u'moch Hashem elokim dimo me'al, call ponim, that death will will cease to exist forever, and the Almighty will wipe off the tear from every face. The Mishnah made reference to things, phrases that the women would say. My Amor, and what did they say? Omar Rav, Vai le'ozla, Vai le'chavila. There are different interpretations as to what that means, but Vai le'ozla means woe unto he who is going. In other words, woe unto he who is dying. And the word chavila, Rashi says here chabola. The chabola means the pain, the maka. The Rabbeinu Hananel, whom we will be relying upon very heavily as we go through the next section of Gemara, he has a different explanation. That word chavila has to do with a mashkon, collateral, that is returned. And that idea means that the Almighty entrusts his pikodon. He entrusts the soul into a body. The pikodon, the entrusted item, the soul, into the, in other words, the spiritual into the physical. And when the Kodesh Baruch Hu takes a life, he basically is calling back. He's summoning that which was entrusted, or he's summoning back the mashkon, that he had entrusted. So that's what they would cry out. They say, "Woe unto he who is dying! Woe unto the collection of the entrusted article." Omar Rava. Now you see we have a double underlined series marking, and on the side, under the Mivneh heading, with the Nosei Mivneh, the double underline and diamonds will appear as well. Sidra Shel Divrei Hespich Nemra Yidei Noshi Shachantziv. Series of eulogy remarks that were recited by the women of a place called Shachantziv. Omuva kan ayude Rava. Rava introduces each one of them. Hamisparim mituamim im pirush harach. The numbers that appear in the Gemara will make it easier to see the explanation of each phrase by looking at the commentary of Rabbeinu Hananel. You'll see that Rashi here is lacking. There's a note under the Mesoras Hashas that the Rashi commentary is found in the Sefer Ein Yankiv, and you not over here. So we'll be relying on the Rabbeinu Hananel. So our approach right now will be simply to read through the Gemara without any immediate explanation, and then we'll turn our attention down to the lower part of the page to go through each phrase. So Omar Rava, Noshi de Shachantziv Amron, Hochi. They would say as follows: Vai la'azlo, vai la'chavila, and that we explained already. V'yomer Rava, Noshi de Shachantziv Amron, Gud Gromo, Mikocha v'nimti Maya la'antichi. V'yomer Rava, Noshi de Shachantziv Amron, Atuf v'kasu turi debar Rami, ubar Ravavi, Hu. V'yomer Rava, Noshi de Shachantziv Amron, Shiul. It's the law, the milsa, the bar churin, the shlimu, zavdei. The Omar Rava, Noshi de Shachantziv Amoron, Roy Vinofel Amavro, the Yezufta, Yosef. The Omar Rava, Noshi de Shachantziv Amoron, Achno Tagri, Azvagdi, it's Azbazgi, Mivdiku. The Omar Rava, Noshi de Shachantziv Amoron, Moiso ki Moiso, Marin Chibulaya. Now, we turn down to the bottom of the page where you see the Rabbeinu Hananel commentary, and starting at the where number one appears in the diamond, Omar Rava, Vai Lazla, Vai Lachavola, Pirush, Noshi Shansi Poyu Chachomos, they were wise women, Poyu Ma'anos, Ramos, they had these remarks that they made at funerals, and they would say, Oy Lahilich, woe unto he who is going, was departing. Kedachtiv, ki hoilich odom el base, oilamo, the sovavo, quoting the basis of holech, Azla is the Aramaic word of holeif, and the basis of using holeif in the context of death is from this pasuk. Va'oi l'mi shehu memushkan v'nitpa l'shalem ha'pikodon she'etzlo. And woe unto he who had offered collateral and the entrusted article is being claimed from him. Klomar, this means to say, ha'odom mismashkein l'hashlem rucho she'etzlo pikodon l'baleo. A person is called upon to return that which was entrusted to him, namely his spirit that was entrusted to the person. The owner, of course, is the Almighty. Pirush chavlo mashkon. The word chavlo, in fact, in the Torah, you see the word chavol, tachbol, in the context of taking something as collateral. Pirush gud garmo mikocha venimti mayo laantuchia. Chituch hamaychol min hashinayim v'yagia chamoy samayim bantifi. The literal translation has to do with cutting away food from one's teeth and heat reaching the boiler. Klomar, kevon shenechtach hamaychol mipi hachoyle. Once food is removed from the sick, from the infirm, bo'erez bo'y chamois, that introduces heat, umechamemes me raglov kechamos antichi, and his waist becomes heated up like an antichi is a water boiler. The snan antichi afa pisha gufa ein shesun imenu neisha mechamemes harbe. That's a quote from Maseches Shabbos, in which laws of cooking are discussed, and the antichi is featured there as a unit of boiling. So the person who is who dies, so his food is removed from him, and he then becomes very heated up. The next comment, Pirush Shiul Itztilu the Milso the Barchori Dishlimu Zavde Klomar Doima Ki Itztilu Shomilas Levono Leben Tovim Shiorad Minuchosov. The analogy here is to a very fine article of clothing that belonged to someone who now has become impoverished. Someone who was wealthy and becomes impoverished, death is better for him than continued life. The Yeshomrim, Misha Ein Lo Begodim Lilboish Yishal V'Yelich Lavois Ben Toivim Shel Meis V'Shalmu Yemei Chayav. Another explanation of this phrase is someone who doesn't have what to wear should go to someone that was of means but just died and paid up his life. Another phrase was Atof V'Kasui. Now you notice the numbering that we have here is out of order. We had four, and now we're presenting three, because this corresponds to the numbers in the Gemara. Number three in the Gemara said, "Atof kasui turi debar ravvi ubar romi have." Pirush kamo adam ha'omer laharim, as if a person says to mountains, "His atfu vis kasu b'mabushechem hanoim." Cloak yourselves in beautiful clothing, because the person, people were buried in mountains, the person who is coming to be buried now is an important person, so that the eulogy would say an address to the mountains to get dressed up as to welcome this person who's going to be buried. Another explanation is that the mountains were addressed, but people were addressed. Get clothed and dressed up and stand on the mountains. Cover the mountains with your presence, because the person that's being buried is a man of stature. Achana. The number six, Achana Tagri Da'al Zavugi Mivdiki, Pirush, Achenu Hatagorim, Sha'al Kinyonam Mivdiki. Klomar. B'mokim schorosin nivdokim hane'emonim heim im lav. Merchants are checked out in their places of commerce. Are they trustworthy or not? K'moi shomim b'shloisha dvorim obdom nikra. As the Gemara says in Erevin, a person is identifiable, is recognizable in three areas. B'koisoi, b'kiso, b'kaso. The fifth point, or the fifth expression that the women would say, Roid v'nofal barudi v'amavdi yusfita yosef. Pirush. Rots b'chol koichoi, running with all his strength, v'nofal bein ha'oivdim v'al ha'mabrois malveloive. Pirush kemo moshalu, klomar, this is an analogy. Even though a person may run all his life with all his force and strength, when he falls amongst all those that lost their way. When his time, even though he's running with all his strength, but when he has to come to cross the river, he begs just for someone to help him across, and if he doesn't have the means to pay, he'll borrow money, and at times even then won't find the way to get across. So that we see, again, a person might live life with a certain amount of vigor, but when his time comes to go, nothing will help him. Moisa ki moisa umara chubulaya pirush hamoves shelzeh kemises kol adam. This person's death is like anyone else's death. Va'arichus cholyo tosefes kemo horibis alamalve. And the long period of infirmity is like interest on a loan. Sheyesh mi shepura chovo hi hamilve shenosnu lo vidayo. There's some people that pay the basic debt and that's enough. And there's some people that it's not enough that they pay their debt with their lives, but they also have to suffer illness along with it. We continue now in the Gemara. Tanya, Hoya Rabbi Meir Oimer. Rabbi Meir was known to say, "Toiv leches al beis avel chulei ad va'chai iten el libo." Of course, this is a pasuk from Koheles, where the author says it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of partying, and the living should pay heed, should take to heart this matter. And what should one take to heart? Dvorim shel misa, matters of death. Matters related to death. The yaspeid, yispedune, one who eulogizes others will merit being eulogized. Yikber, yikberune, someone who is engaged in, helps in burying others, so he will be buried. Of course, very positive things. And measure for measure, if you care for others, you will receive care. Yitan, yitanune, one who carries others will be carried. Yodel, Yidlune. Yodel has to do with raising one's voice in crying, in woeful eulogizing. So one who causes others to cry in his eulogizing will merit having that done for him. The Ikodamri, another approach to this is the Lo Yodel. One who doesn't raise himself, one who behaves in modesty and humility, yidlune, he will be raised. In other words, if one lives a life avoiding haughtiness and avoiding heights, he will merit being raised. Dichtiv kitov amor lecho alei heina. The pasuk indicating that others will say, come up here, rise. Tanu Rabbanan, and we have here a long Tanaic source, you can see, and on the side under the Nosei Mivneh heading, triangles will appear in the course of the source. Tanchumin shel arba tanoim shenifnasu lenachim b'rishmo kishemei subanov. Another tragedy. You see, the greatest of our people were beset by major tragedy, and in this case, Rabbi Shmuel buries his sons. What's outstanding is that, and we've seen this in recent Dapim, these great luminaries experiencing very, very painful, difficult life situations. And what made them great is that with all of that, they were able to continue in their pursuit of Torah greatness and reached very lofty heights where no one should know from these pains, but we know what toll it takes on many, many common people, many regular people, and it's quite understandable. But with these people, they were able to overcome that and reach tremendous heights. But it's important for us to note the trials and tribulations that they experienced. So we'll see four Tanoim going to visit and to console Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara. Ton Rabbana Kishemesu Bonov Shor Rabbi Shmuel, when the sons of Rabbi Shmuel, notice it's in the plural, the sons of Rabbi Shmuel died, Nichsu Arbaz came, Nachma, four sages came to console him, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva. Omar Lahem, Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says to those accompanying him, Deusha Chacham Godolhu, Uboki Bagodos. You should know that Rabbi Shmuel is a very great man, a wise man, and he's expert in Agodos. Al Yikones Echod Mikem Lesoch Divrei Chavero. Very interesting that Rabbi Tarfon has to caution them that one should not interrupt the other. Literally, one should not enter the words while the other is speaking. Interesting. That's all I can say. It's that it leads one to think that otherwise they would have interrupted one another. I don't know. It's something to think about. Omar Rabbi Akiva. And upon hearing Rabbi Tarfon's words, Rabbi Akiva says, Vani Achron. I want to be the last to speak. Posach Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, who himself was the mourner, he opens up, and I have a thought on this, and I indicate this on the side. You see a starred note near Lefian Azdaiti Psicha Mitzada Ove Rishmael Maafshir An Yosam Sham Nachman Kfishim Ofiim Behemshech. There is a halacha that when one goes to console a mourner, he's to sit there in silence until the mourner speaks up and addresses those who are there to console him. So it seems of significance for this story to unfold for Rabbi Shmuel, who himself was the mourner, to speak up. So he opens the Omar, Rabu Avinoisov Tachfu Avelov Itriach Raboisov Pam Rishonu Shnia. He says on himself that it must be that he has many sins, and as a result he Tachfu is one after the other, successive losses causing him to be an Ovel, and he troubles his teachers a first time and a second time to come to comfort him. Nene Rabbi Tarfon V'Omar. Rabbi Tarfon opens and he responds. He says, V'achechem kol beis Yisrael yifkos asreifa. Quoting the Pasuk that the Jewish people should cry over this blaze. V'halo dvarim kavachomer. You'll notice we have a bow tie marking on the side. Signon atanchumen shel kol echod al yidei kavachomer. You'll see this repeat style where the consolation is through kavachomer logic. Now, this posuk that Rabbi Tarfon quoted was in the context of the death of Nodav and Avihu, the sons of Aaron. And Rabbi Tarfon says, Kal v'chomer, Uma Nodav Avihu shelo osu ala mitzvah achas. Nodav Avihu are reported as having done one mitzvah, dechtiv, v'yakrivu b'nei Aaron es adam elov. Kach, was they offered the blood of the sacrifices, and look what happened. Look what they merited, that all of Israel shall mourn them. Bono of Shel, Rabbi Shmuel, Achaz Kama Vakama, the sons of Rabbi Shmuel, who did many mitzvahs, that all the more so. Nene Rabbi Yosef Glili Vyomar, the Softu Lo Kol Yisrael Vakavru Oisai. This is a pasuk from Melachim, and you'll see in a moment who it's referring to. Valo Dvarim Kavachomer, Uma Avio Ben Yerovam, Shaloyosel Dover Echot Toiv, the son of Yerovam, the king of the northern kingdom. So his son Avia, he did only one good thing. Tichtiv be yan nimtza bo dover tov, that something good was found in him. And his father Yerovam had set up guards preventing people from going to Yerushalayim for Aliyas HaRegel. So he canceled the guard, and he canceled that guard post. So he did one good thing, and what we just said, by the way, the Gemara will point that out in the bracketed section, the next couple lines. He did one good thing, and the pasuk says that all of Israel eulogized him and buried him. Bonov Shel Rabbi Shmuel. Halachas Kama Vakama, the sons of Rabbi Shmuel on a higher level than Avia Ben Yerovam, all the more. And here the Gemara interrupts the Brisa and says, "Oh, my Dover Toiv, what is the good thing that he did?" Rabbi Zerv Chinuna Bar Papa, Charomar. These two argue. One says Shabitel Mishmartoi Va'ola LeRegel, that he canceled the guard that prevented people from going to Jerusalem, as is instructed on the thrice-year pilgrimage, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So he, Mevatel, he canceled that guard and went to Yerushalayim. V'charamah shebitel pardeseus shehoishiv Yerovam aviv aladrochim shelo yalu Yisrael loregel. The difference between these two pshatim, according to the first Chalomar, he himself went to Yerushalayim, was all of the regel. The second Chalomar, where it says Shabitel Pardesoi Shishi Ravim Oviv Al Droch Shalay Yisrael regel, where he canceled the guard posts that his father Yerovam had set, preventing the Jewish people, the others, from going. So it doesn't indicate that he himself went, but he made it possible for others to go. We continue with the words of comfort to Rabbi Shmuel. Nene Rabbi Lozer ben Azar v'Yomar. He quotes a pasuk which refers to the death of King Tzidkio. B'shalom tomus uv'misr foysav v'isecham lochem harishonim v'shohoy lufonecha ken yisrfu loch. This pasuk deals with the honor accorded to a king in his death. The reference to burning is mentioned that the private vessels of a king were not to be used by succeeding kings. This is an expression of honor to the king. So he was promised that he'll have a peaceful death, and honor will be bestowed to him. Valo dvorim kavachomer. Umat Tzidkio melech Yehuda shelo osa lo mitzvah achas. Shehelo Yirmiyo min hatit kach. Tzidkio, who, as far as scriptures are concerned, is reported as having done one mitzvah, and that is to save the prophet Yirmiyo from the pit in which he was thrown. Pit of tit is usually understood to mean clay or cement. So he saved Yirmiyo. Bonov shel Rabbi Shmuel achas kama v'kama. All the more so, your sons merit great reward. Nene Rabbi Akiva v'Omar. Rabbi Akiva, the last one to speak, says, Bayomahu yigdal ha-mispeh b'shalem k'mispeh hadadrimon b'vikas Megiddo. The pasuk that we just read is explained in the brackets by the Gemara. So we'll read it straight through. V'yomer of Yosef, ilmolei targume dahai kro la'aviyadana ma'ikomer. If not for the targum, for the Aramaic explanation of this pasuk, it wouldn't have made any, I wouldn't have known what it says. But idnahu, this is a reference to a time in the future. At that time, Yaski Mispeda Bishlaim, there will be a very great hesped. Now, the Gemara in Sukkah elaborates this, speaking about the death of the Moshiach ben Yosef, if I'm not mistaken, and a very great eulogy is reported there. So it'd be on that day, there will be a very large hesped. The size of the hesped, the Achav Bar Omri, the eulogy granted to King Achav, the Kotel Yosei Hadadrimon Ben Tavrimon, he, Achav, was killed by by King Hadadrimon, an enemy power, Uchemispeid, the Yoshe Ben Omoin, and the Posuk that refers to the great hesped that will be in the future, will be also like the great hesped that was afforded to Yoshio, the son of Amon, a king in the latter part of the first Beis HaMikdash period. The Kotel Yosei, Paro Chagiro Bavikas Megiddo, he was killed by Paro the Lame in a region called Bikas Megiddo. So now Rabbi Akiva continues. V'alo dvorim kavachomer. Uma achov melch Yisrael. Shelo oso el dover echo toiv. Mind you, Achav, who was actually known as a very wicked king, but he did one good thing. Dichtiv. V'amelech hoyo mo'omad b'merkova noichach arom. Kach. And the Rach, the Rabbeinu Chanan, explains that in his battle with Arom, he was mortally wounded. That is, Achav, the king, was mortally wounded, and he mustered up enough strength to stand up, even though he was severely wounded. He mustered enough strength to stand up in his chariot so as to create the impression that he was all right, thereby preventing a sense of fear on the part of the Jews that were fighting alongside. So in recognition of Achav's desire to maintain his people, maintain the bravery of his people, he merited a great eulogy. Bonov shel Rabbi Shmuel achas kama v'kama, the sons of Rabbi Shmuel all the more so have great merit. Omale Rovo, the Rabo Bar Mori. Before we go on, we have a new marking scheme on the side. The trapezoid highlights together with a squiggle underline. Shnei She'elois, Shehuftach Misas Tzitkiyov Yoshio B'Shalom V'Fol Kor HaEfech. We're going to be raising questions from Psukim where Tzitkiyo and Yoshio were promised pleasant deaths, and in reality, the opposite happened. So this is Rava's question to Rabba Bar Mori. Ksiv Bei B'Tzitkiyo B'Shalom Tomus says regarding Tzitkiyo that will die in peace. Uksiv V'Yas Eini Tzitkiyo Iver. And yet, we know that his eyes were gouged out. Omar Le Hochyam Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan explains, what does it mean that he'll die in peace? Shemes Nebuchadnezzar B'Yomov. Nebuchadnezzar was the one that oppressed Tzidkio, and yet Nebuchadnezzar died before Tzidkio. V'Yomar Rava L'Rabba Bar Mori, another similar question, Ksiv Bei B'Yoshio, says regarding King Yoshio, L'chein Hineni El Sifcha Al Avrisecha V'Nesafta El Kivrisecha B'Shalom. He says it will be gathered in to be buried in peace. Uksiv, and yet regarding Yoshio's death, it says Vayoru Hayom L'Melech Yoshio, the archers aimed and shot at Yoshio. V'Omar of Yudah Amarav Shalsu Kikvora. He was pierced by many, many arrows, making him like a sieve full of holes. So where's the fulfillment of Bishalom? Omale Hochyam Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabo Bar Mori answers Rava. He says, thusly says Rabbi Yochanan, Shelo Chorav Beis HaMikdash V'Yomav. He merited living a life without the holy temple, the Beis Hamikdash, being destroyed in his time. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Menachemim Rashaim Loimar Dovar Ad Sheyiftach Ovel. And we made mention of this before in our comment at the beginning of the long Tanaic source, that the consolers who come to comfort the mourner are not allowed to speak until the Ovel speaks first. Shinemar Achreichein Posach Ioiv Espiu V'hodar V'yan Eliphaz Hatimni. Iov was the mourner, so he speaks, and then after he speaks, Eliphaz Hatimni, a friend of his who came to console him, then responds. But the mourner has to speak up first. And as we go on, you notice there are more markings on the side under the Nosei Mivne heading. Minayin Sha'ova V'chosun Yoshvin Barosh. Here we have two opposite figures, but the same halacha applies. The mourner and the bridegroom sit at the head. Omer Rabbi Avol, Minayin La'ovel Shemesev Barosh. Where do we know that the ovel is to sit at the head of the table or the head of the group of where people are assembled? Shinemar, Evchar Darkom, V'eshev Rosh V'eshkoin, Kemelech Bagdud Kashir Avelim Yenachem. The Gemara asks, regarding this posuk, Yenachem Achrini Mashma. If you read the posuk as we did, it would indicate that the ones that are sitting at the head are the Yenachem, those that come to console. The comforters sit at the head. Omer Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Yenochem Ksiv. The word as it appears in the scriptures is without vowels, so it can be read in a grammatical fashion where that word is referring to the one who is receiving the consolation, that he shall sit at the head. Marzutra Omar Mehocha. Marzutra is a second approach to where do we know the Ovel sits at the head. It says, Vesor Mirzach Suchim. Mirzach Naase Sor Lasuchim. The word Sar is a minister. And what we should do at this point is look at the Rabbeinu Chananel on Chof Tesamet Aleph, where there's a starred comment. And he says, Hamarzeach hu ha'ovel klomar Hanizach b'mirus. He is cast aside in his bitterness. So the pasuk Marzeach is a reference to someone who is embittered, and he is then made like a minister. So that is indicative of the embittered one, the mourner, sitting at the head. Omer of Chama bar Chanina, minayin lechosel shemesef rosh. Where do we know that a bridegroom sits at the head? Shinemar kechoson yechayin peher ma kohen barosh. In this pasuk, the choson is in juxtaposition with a kohen. So just like a kohen is at the head, af choson barosh. So to a bridegroom is at the head. V'kohen gufim. Now, where do we know that a kohen is put at the head? The Tanave Rabbi Shmuel, the following source, v'kidashto, a pasuk regarding Kohanim, and you shall sanctify him. L'chol davar shekedusha, all matters of holiness. L'ftoach rishon, he's the first to read from the Sefer Torah. We call the first aliyah. U'levorech rishon, he is the first to make a bracha. That also might entail, as Rashi says, v'rech is birchas hamazon. He leads the birchas hamazon. U'velito mona yofi rishon, when comes to distributing portions of food, he takes the first portion, the nice portion, first. Omar Rabbi Chanina, Koshe Yitzias Neshama Min Aguf. We continue at the top of Chof Tes Amanav, Kitzipori Befi Aveshet. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kipituri Befi Veshet. There are two descriptions here of how difficult it is for the soul to depart from the body. Now, this is in stark contrast to what we saw earlier, how some, we'll say, very pious individuals, so Ravon, Rav Nachman, whose soul departed them in a very easy fashion. But that might very well be a function of their great piety. But in, let's see, in principle, the Yitzias Neshama, the departure of the soul from the body, is described like, you know, two expressions, Kitzipur Pi Veshet and Kipturi Bifi Veshet. The Rashi at the top of Chof Tes Amar Aleph says, Kitzipur Bifi HaVeshet, Kechevel Sheshbo Kesher. Imagine a rope with a knot in it. V'yotzei B'koshi Min HaToren. Toren is the mast. So that if you have, let us say, a sail that's tied to a ship's mast, and it's tied in such a way that a rope is inserted into a hole, and then a knot is made, keeping the rope in place. If you try to pull the rope with while it's knotted, it's very difficult to do that. So that's a description of how difficult it is for the soul to depart the body. Pituri, which was the second explanation that Rabbi Yochanan gave, Shekoshrin Shtei Sfinos Biachad. I think it's a similar idea, but it involves the bonding of two boats together, tied together with a rope. And I believe in Maseches Brochus there's a description of logs that are tied together, forming a raft by knotting a rope through holes. Again, the same idea, very difficult form of departure. Omar Rabbi Levi Bar Chisa. We have this house marking that highlights two drushes of Rabbi Levi. Haniftar min hames lo yomar lo lech l'shalom. One who departs from a body, from a corpse, you don't say to the body, to the deceased, lech l'shalom, elo lech b'shalom. Before the word shalom, you have a bays instead of a lamed. Haniftar min achai lo yomar lo lech b'shalom, elo lech l'shalom. One who is leaving someone who's alive, saying goodbye to his friend. You don't say when your friend is departing, you don't say lech b'shalom, but rather the opposite. You say lech l'shalom. Haniftar min ames lo yomar lo lech l'shalom, elo lech b'shalom. And the precedent for this is, or the basis, the source of this is, shenemar v'ato tovo el avoisecho b'shalom. The Almighty tells Avram about, at the end of his days, he will die and go to his forebears using the word b'shalom with the bays. Haniftar min achai lo yomar lo lech b'shalom elo lech l'shalom sharei. One should say, be careful here, and when his friend is departing, you say to a living individual, lech l'shalom. David shamar la shalom. David said to his son who was alive, Avshalom, he said, lech b'shalom. And after that, holach v'nidla, he met his death. He ended up going and was hung. Without the how that happened and all this is a separate story unto itself, but he ended up dying a death through being hung. In fact, he was caught between branches in a tree and was suspended therefrom. And Yisro Shomar LeMoshe Lech L'Shalom Holach V'Itzliach. Yisro, who said to Moshe Rabbeinu upon his departure, he said, Yisro said to Moshe, Lech L'Shalom, and Moshe went and became the leader of the Jewish people. He went and was very successful. The Omar Rabbi Levi, Kol Yotzei Mibeis HaKnesses, Lebeis HaMedrash, Lebeis HaMedrash, Lebeis HaKnesses, one who, when leaving the synagogue, house of prayer, goes to a house of Torah study, or leaves the house of Torah study and then goes to prayer in a synagogue, Zeichu Mekabel Pnei Shechina, he merits receiving the divine presence. Shenemar, Yelchu Michael El Chayel Yireh El Elokim B'Tzion. The Pasuk is featured in two drushes, so here, hence we've used this crown marking. So the Chayel is, you'll go from one force, Chayel is a force, usually it's a force of soldiers, but it represents a force, a source of strength. You go from one chayel to another, going from the strength of Torah study to the strength of prayer and vice versa, will be zoche, will merit seeing the we're receiving the divine presence. Omar Rav Chia Bar Ashi Omar Rav Talmidei Chachamim Ein Lahem Menucha Afilu LeOlam Haba. Torah scholars who toil in this world will not have rest in the next world. They'll be exposed to many lofty, active spiritual experiences. Of course, we don't know what that is, but suffice it to say, it's something of, we'll say, great activity. Ein lehem menucha. They won't have rest in the world to come. Shenemar yechu mechayel el chayel yireh elokim betzion. Of course, this is a very positive, positive expression that they won't have rest. They won't have rest because of their intense activity in very lofty spiritual experiences. That, of course, infinite pleasure that we can't imagine in this world. So, as you can see with that, we have reached the end of our Masifta, and of course with hope and prayer that we'll not only be able to start the next Masifta, but also to review this one. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at if you wish to be in touch with us, especially in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.